Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Vav. We begin at the Mishnah, five lines from the top. Today's shiur is being learned to Leila Nishmas Paul Michaels, Pinchos Ben Yeshaya, and Annette Felston. I don't have her Hebrew name. All the Neshamas we learned for should have an Aliyah. The Mishnah begins, Hamotzi Teven Kimlo Pi Parah. This Mishnah is going to be talking to us about the minimal shears that a person needs to carry out of various types of food in order to be overcarrying on Shabbos to bring a chatos if he did it by accident. Now, it's important to remind everybody, we've said this many times already, that even chatzi shears are osmin haTorah. You're not allowed to carry anything on Shabbos. However, the chiyuv of bringing a chatos is only when it's considered a significant amount. As we learned in yesterday's Mishnah at the end of the shear, it has to be something that is normally kosher latzniyat, something that's normally used for purposes of some sort, and it has to be umatznion, and has to have over here the shear kamohu, that a person normally goes and uses at least that amount in order for it to be considered significant. So in this situation, the Mishnah now today is going to tell us the significant shear for various types of animal foods. The shear in general for human consumption is a grogeris, as we've learned, a dried fig. However, for animal consumption, it will depend on the type of animal food that you're feeding the animal. So we start off over here with teven. Teven is straw. We'll see that there's a difference between the teven that we're talking about at the beginning for a cow and the teven we're going to be talking about in a moment for a tleh, for a sheep. One is the teven for a cow. They're able to eat better, harder foods. So this includes, so to say, the whole husk and everything. And the teven, the straw that we're going to be dealing with later for the sheep, is more the softer portion only. Again, the larger animals are able to eat more difficult stuff. The smaller animals are only able to eat a little bit more dainty stuff. Their teeth can't grind it as well. So the Mishnah is telling us that when you be over the issur of carrying on Shabbos by accident, that you have to bring a chatas, so if it's dealing with straw, with teven, regular straw, that's the shear for a cow, kimlo pi parah, enough that a cow would have in its mouth, so that is the amount that a person has to carry out. If it's that amount, so then it's considered significant. If it's less than that amount, it's not considered significant. So for the cows who eat this type of teven, that is the shear. Otza, that's the next thing that's mentioned over in the Mishnah, that's for a camel. The camels, they're bigger animals, they're able to eat even harder stuff than what a cow can. So the otza, which the Gemara is going to tell us, is teven shomine kitnis. It's going to be some sort of a bean straw, a straw that has comes from bean plants. So this is a harder food to digest, but a camel can digest it. So if you have kimelo pi gomel, that's considered a significant amount. What a camel has in a mouthful is considered a significant amount for carrying on Shabbos. And if you carry this amount, you chayev a chatos. Again, less than that is not allowed. Chatzi sheir is osmin in a Torah, but you're not going to bring a chatos. The next one is omir. Omir is this straw that is kashin shel shibolin, Rashi says, but as the Mefarshim bring down, this is really dealing over here with the softer part. The cows are able to go and eat the harder part. The Tiferes Yisrael says this is kash hadak ha'elyon. This is like the softer part at the top. And this is food for a sheep. So omir kimlo pli tle. This is the amount that a sheep, a lamb, is able to go and normally have in its mouth. So this is considered significant when you're dealing with lambs. More we'll discuss. Well, what about if you take this amount out for a cow? For a camel. We'll talk about that. The next one is asovim, grasses. Kimlo pli gedi, the amount that a goat would normally have. This amount is the significant amount for the food for a gedi, for a goat. Then it's ale shum vali bitzolim. If you have the leaves over here of a shum is garlic, bitzolim are onions. So if you have the leaves of these, so what is considered significant is animal fodder. So if they're lachim, if they're moist, then it's kugrogeris. The amount of this ali shum or ali basalam is the amount of a dried fig. That's considered significant. If yaveshim, if they're dried out, then kimlo pi gidi. Then it's the amount that a gidi, a baby goat, a kid, is going to have in its mouth. Now, the Mishnah concludes and says, v'ein mitztarfim zem zeh. None of these shiurim are able to combine with each other. So, seemingly, it's telling us that if you have a half of a shear of otza and a half of a shear of teven, or a half of a shear of the asovim and a half of the shear of the amir, they can't combine together. Ein mitztarfim zem zeh, mipnei shelo shavu b'shiurim, because they're not the same shear. Each of them has a different amount. The Gemara will, however, qualify this and say that's when you're using it to make up the shear of the smaller animal. But if you're using it to make up the shear of the larger animal, so as long as you're getting the melo pri gomo, so it doesn't make a difference if it's using the otza or if you have half of it also of this melo pri gomo of the other types of stuff, the tevin, for example. There it would be considered significant. Again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss this in more detail. But right now it's just telling us if you have a half a shear of one and a half a shear of the other, so that's not going to be considered significant. Gemara starts off and tells us, my otza. What exactly is this otza that we spoke about? So I already read you the Gemara. Amar Yehuda, tevin shomine kitnis. It is a certain type of kash, of straw, of beans. Gemara says, ki otza Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, again, Rav Dimi, Ravin, others would come back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they would bring the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and vice versa, and bring it back, Torah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So, Kios Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said the following, Hamotzi Teven Kimlo Pi Para, if you take out Teven, the amount of Amlo Pi Para, for a Gamal, Li Gamal. So, if you took it out for a cow, it would be fine. But here you take it out for a Gamal. So, a Gamal needs more than the Amlo Pi Para for it to be significant. So is it considered over here significant if you carry it out for a gamal? So he said this is a machlokis. Rav Dimi said that Rav Yochanan Amar Chayim, he says, yeah, Rav Yochanan says that that is considered significant, even though it's for a cow, but if you take out a malo pi para, it is considered significant. But Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish, Amar Potter, he disagreed. He said, no, you're taking it out for a cow. It's not enough for a cow. It's not considered significant enough to be over Chattas. That was the original report that Rav Dimi gave in the name of Yochanan. But then he said, that was what he said at night. But Urta Amar Yochanan Hachi, at nighttime, Urta is a euphemism over here for early Arba, so like we say by Yibedikas Chometz, it means the light of the night, which means nighttime. So Urta is a word that we use to say nighttime. So that's what Yochanan said when he gave the shear at night. But the following morning, Litzavra, in the morning, he changed his mind. Hardabe, he agreed with Reish Lakish, and he said, no, if you take out Melo Pi Para of Tevin for a gamal, so then you would be potter. Like Reish Lakish said, it's not considered significant. Again, you're not allowed to do it, because chatish is also in the Torah, but you would not be chayev a chatas. So Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. Originally he said you're chayev, then he changed it to being potter. Why did he do that? Rabbi Yosef, Shapir Ovad Dehoder. Rabbi Yosef said, yeah, it's very appropriate that he changed his mind, because his original opinion was wrong, and now he changed it to the correct answer. Why is that? Dehalo chazi legamal, because how could you say that you're chayev? He didn't take out a significant enough amount. And therefore, he took out less than a significant amount for a camel, albeit it was significant for a cow, but he's taking it out for the camel. So therefore, it's not considered significant, and therefore, he is potter. That's what Rav Yossi said. However, his Talmud Abaye didn't like that. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yossi, whoa, Adrabba, the exact opposite. Kidmei Karim Istabra, his original psak that you're chayev was correct. He shouldn't have changed it around. Why? Because Doha Chazi Lepara. We don't care why he took it out. He took out a significant amount. If it had been for a cow, everybody agrees he's chayev. So what difference does it make that he took it out for a camel? He took out a significant amount, and therefore you should be chayev. Now this taka is very, very logical. And therefore, that was Rav Dimi's coming back from Eretz Yisrael telling us what they said. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Elok Yosser Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over this machlokis in the way that Abaye said it. Omar, he said, Hamotzi Tevin, if you take out the straw, Kimlo Pi Para, for the amount that a cow would normally have, Kimlo Pi Para, but you're taking it out for a gomo. So as Abaye had explained, of course you'd be chayiv in that situation. The Kuli Amalo Pli the chayiv, because it's significant. What difference does it make that you're taking it out for a camel? You're taking out a significant amount. So therefore, you're doing a malacha for which you're chayiv a chatas for. So everybody agrees to that. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. But where do they have an argument? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish did have an argument. Ki Pligei B'motzi Atza Kimlo Pi Para. When you're taking out this Atza, which is the camel's food, but you're only taking out Kimlo Pi Para for a mouth that a cow can have, which would be significant if it was food for a cow, and you're doing it Lepara, but you're taking out a food that it only eats B'shas HaDchak. The cow doesn't easily eat this Atza. No, under extenuating circumstances, no other food, it would eat it. So you took out a significant amount for a cow to eat, Kimlo Pi Para, but you didn't take out the right food. So are you chayev or not in this situation? And here, the Ifqa Itmar, the machlokis that we originally had, that Rav Yochanan was the more machmir shita and Rish Lakish was the more mekel shita, we flip it around. Here, Rav Yochanan is the mekel shita, Rav Yochanan mar potter. Since the cow normally doesn't eat this food, even though you took out a significant shear for a cow, you're going to be potter for mechatos. And Rish Lakish was the one that said, Amar Chayat. Why? So, Rav Yochanan mar potter, Rav Yochanan says, you're potter because achila ayde hatchak lo shmo achila. This is not a normal food for a cow. It can't eat this food normally. If it's starved, it will eat it. So it's only eating it ayde hatchak. If you're eating it ayde hatchak, so then he says you're potter. That's not the normal significant amount of food, and therefore you're not chayv chatos. On the other hand, Rish Lakish machayv says no. Bottom line is achila ayde hatchak shmo achila. Did the cow eat it? Yeah, the cow ate it. Is the cow satisfied, or is it enough to begin to satiate the cow? Yeah, so therefore, you carried out a significant amount for this cow. Therefore, you are chayav. So that's the machlokis, according to Ravin, between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But in the situation where you took out tevin kolo pi para legomol, you take out an amount that's significant for a cow, albeit you're taking out for a camel, everybody would say that you're chayav. Now we go back and we discuss the Mishnah where it said, Omir kimlo pi tle. If you take out that softer straw, enough for a sheep, for a tle, a lamb. So Mara says, is that really true? V'atanya ki grogeres. We learned elsewhere in a Braisa that the shear is really a grogeres. And why are you telling me over here, kimlo pi tle? The shear for a lamb that's significant is a dried fig's worth, a grogeres. Gemara says they're the same shear. Idi v'idi chad shiruhu. They're both exactly the same shear. And therefore, there's no problem. There's no steer over here between the two. Now, Tosus asks, so then why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you just tell me grogeres? So Tosus says, hodinoka b'masnisun kimlo pi tle. Why did our Mishnah use the terminology kimlo pi tle? The lo noka grogeres, like the Braisa did, is to teach us, lashma inon, the mishum achilas tle. Where did they get this shear of grogeres from? It's because that happens to be a normal amount of a pitle. The e narkat ki grogeres, because if you just told me a grogeres is worth, lo yadina, lo manos nubo chachom shirzeh. They would have said, where did you get this shear from? You're picking it out of the hat. So therefore, our Mishnah tells us, consistent with all the others, it's a melo pitle, which the Braisa tells us how much that actually is. That's a grogeres, a dried fig's worth. Tosos achila ayde hatchak tells us that the Gemara in Ketzer HaRegel and Baba Kama, when it's dealing with damages, says that Achila Ayde Etchak Shma Achila according to everybody. So how can Rav Yochanan over here say that Achila Ayde Etchak is not considered an Achila? So Tosus explains that the difference between damages, Animili, Linyan Azikin, everybody agrees. So in regards to damages, even though it's Achila that is not in a normal fashion, you did the damage. So that's what we're interested about. But in terms of Shabbos, they're arguing about, is it considered choshev in regards to Shabbos? So if it's achila ayde hatchak, it's not considered choshev in regards to Shabbos. That's why Rav Yochanan, in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, could say that you're potter, as opposed to Hilchos Nezikin, even as achila ayde hatchak, he would say, is considered significant. The Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. It says, Ali shum v'ali bitzolim. Those types of leaves of the garlic and leaves of the onion. So we said, if they're lachim, if they're moist, ki grogeres. The shear, the significant is grogeres is worth, a dried fig. Be'yaveshim, and if they're dried out, kimlo pi hagdi. Then you look at the amount of the gdi, the goat, the little kid, how much it can put in its mouth, that's considered significant. And then the Mishnah said, "Emit starvin zem zem ipnei shloshav bishiurim." They're not considered able to combine the smaller shiurim with the larger shiurim to make a significant amount. Now, I said we would qualify this, and now let's do that. Rav Yosi bar Chanina says, "Emit starvin lechomer shebehen." They don't combine to make the larger shiur. Avul mitstarvim lekal shebehen, but they can be mitstarv for the more lenient shiur. What do we mean by this? So, when you, let's say, deal with the camel and the cow. So the camel normally has a amount of this otso that we said is kimlo pi gomel. But let's say you take out half of the shear of otso and half of the shear of teven to make up the full melo pi gomel. They do combine in that situation because the camel is now getting significant food. The camel also likes to eat the teven. It just can also eat the otso. So when you're going to the larger animal, and you're taking the full amount of the shear for the larger animal, it could be combined with a half of a shear of that coming from the teven and a half of a shear of that coming from the otsa. It combines to make the full shear of the camel. But the other way around, we wouldn't combine it. If you had the pi of a para, and you had half of a shear of tevin, and half of that shear of atzah, so then it wouldn't combine, because that's not the normal food for the cow. So therefore, you're giving it something that's not considered substantive in this situation, because you have the full shear, but it's not considered something that's significant for the cow. But again, when you're going up, so you're giving it something that's significant. You have the pi gomo, you have the entire shear, and the camel likes, it's not considered achila yided chak. It also likes the tevin. It just can also eat the atzah. So you can combine them going up to the higher level amount, because that, in fact, is going to be completing the shear. But when you're going down and you're combining something that's not really significant for that animal, it only eats it under distress, then you don't combine it. That's what this statement over here of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chinan is saying. A mitzdarfin l'chomer shebehem, avol mitzdarfin l'kal shebehem. So the camel's shear can't be used for the cow, but the cow's shear can be used for the camel. I hope that was clear. So the Gemara questions this. Behold, the low shavu b'shireyam mi mitzdarfin. But if they're really not the same, are they able to be mitzdarif? But if not, we learned in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Kalim, where it's talking about again tuma and tara, and it tells us habeged shlosha al shlosha. If you have a garment, a piece of material that is shlosha, again, when you have masculine numbers, it always means tvachim. So you have 3x3 tvachim. It's considered significant when it comes to a cloth garment for a person to sit on it. If you have a zav or a nida or yoledes, so these women there or men that are tamei in this type of a tumah, so anything that they sit upon, tumas medris, accepts tumah. Anything that they're leaning upon, they're sitting upon, they're standing upon, so that item becomes an avat tumah. But it has to be a significant item. So for cloth garments, beged, so the significant amount is a 3 tefach by 3 tefach piece of cloth. For a sock, sock is a different type of a material. We learned previously that this is made from the goat's hair, and this type of material is not as comfortable as the beged, and you need, therefore, something a little bit more substantive. So you need vasak, arba, al arba. You need to have it 4x4 tvachim for it to be considered something significant that it could accept tumas medras. Or, for leather, you need even something more significant. Chamisha al chamisha. You need 5 tvachim by 5 tvachim. And for a mappitz, which is a mat-like material, it's made out of reeds, then you need something even more substantive. You need 6x6 tvachim. So these are the minimum shiurim for these different types of material in order for them to accept tumas medras. So the Mishnah in Kalim tells us that each one has its own shear. The beged has its shear, the sock has its shear, the or has its shear, and the mappitz has its shear. But the Braisa, commenting on this Mishnah, tells us seemingly otherwise. V'toni Allah, the Braisa tells us, ha-beged v'yasak, ha-sak v'ya'or, ha-or v'amapitz, mitztarfim zemzeh. They are able to combine with each other. Now, in what way they can combine with each other, we'll see in a moment. Rashi says, sha-beged mashlim shir ha-sak, that you could use beged to fill up the shear of the sak. Sak osoy minotza shel izim. As we pointed out, the sak is the material that's made from goat's hair, and they can combine in this situation so that you have to make the shear of 4 for the sak, so you could have half of that shear made up of beged. Each one can combine with the one right next to it. So beged can combine to make the shear of sak, but you need to have the 4x4. And sak can combine with the shear of or. You need to have the 5x5. And the or can combine with the shear of mappets, but you need to have 6x6. That's what the Braisa says. Habegi vasak, hasak for or, mitzdar from zem zem. But along comes Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says as follows. Vom Rabbi Shimon, matam, what is the reason that this is allowed? Mipnei shiru'uyin litame moshov. Because this can be used to be metame moshev. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi explains, Dibra Maskel Hov Ruin Litame Moshev, in Tzirif Mishnayim Yachad, if you're combining these in a way that you're going to use it to patch up Litaloi Mardas Shel Chamor, to put a patch, Litaloi is a patch, on the Mardas, the saddle of a Chamor, of a donkey. Then, the shear over here for Moshev Hazov, if you combined any of these different materials, is only tefach al tefach. Even 1 tefach by 1 tefach is going to be significant because it's a patch and nobody really cares about it as much as they would for these other types of garments that you're using to sit on. Here it's a patch. A patch can even have this smaller shear. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Now, what's the problem? Tamo, The reason why we said that they can combine over here is the Ruin Litame Moshev, because they can be used as a patch over here to be Matami Moshev. Implication being, Avol Eino Roy Litame Moshev, if they're not able to be combined in a patch, they wouldn't low. So then, how can you tell me that all of the different types of materials here aren't able to combine except when in a patch, but by the foods, our case of the different types of foods for the different animals, we said they can combine for the lower shear. So in other words, you can combine the camel's food with the cow's food for the shear of a camel. You can combine the cow's food with the shear of a tle for the camel. You can do that. But from this brisa, from Rav Shimon's explanation, you can't do this. They don't combine. You don't have a similar analogy to a patch. By the patch, everybody can combine. But by the food, we don't seem to have that similar analogy. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, return to the Amar Beis. No, you have the same thing by the food. Hachanami chaz yoludugma. It can be used all together also in some way. Just like by the patch, they can all be used together, so too the foods can all be used together. And that's why they can combine. In what way are the foods all used together? Biyachad, as Rashi says, ludugma. What's a dugma? So Rashi, in the top line, Mishieshlo Limkor. If somebody's a salesman of all these different types of foods, what does he do? He wants to show off his wares. Tzover Mikulon. He puts them all together. He takes a little bit of the Atzo, he takes a little bit of the Teven, he takes a little bit of the Amir, he takes a little bit of the Asavim, and he puts them all into one container, so to say. Laharos Shiesh Limkor Mikulon. And he shows to people, look, I got all the different types. And it's good for him to put them into one small container, because it's this way easy for him to show everybody. Because he just wants to show a little bit of each one, it would be dispersed by the wind. If we put them all together, it's a little bit more substantive, and the wind's going to not blow it away. And that's how you can see that they can be used in a combination way. So therefore, it's exactly analogous to the patch of the donkey. And that's what Rav is telling us. Therefore, they can be combined. And therefore, you can have the different foods combining for the larger animal in each of the cases. Next Mishnah, the last Mishnah in the Perek of Klal Gadol. The Mishnah says, Hamotzi ochlim kigrogeris. When you're dealing over here with food for a human being, so then the typical shear is a grogeris. As Rashi says, ochlim lemaichel odom. These are talking here for food for a human being. So the amount is considered significant for most foods, a grogeris. And therefore, if you carried out this amount from Shusha Yochet to Shusha Rabim, or, of course, obviously, if you carried out that amount from Shusha Rabim, you'll be Chayav Chatas if you did this accidentally. And all of these foods can combine. You take out half of an apple and half of an orange to make up the shear of a grogeris, so then they would combine because they're all the same shear, as the Mishnah says, because they have essentially the same shear. And therefore, what difference does it make if it's half of an apple and half of an orange, or the full amount of the apple of a grogeris? But we only include the actual food and not the shells or things like that. So when you're figuring out this shear of a grogeris, it doesn't include chutz miklipason, it doesn't include any shells of food that you have. As Rashi points out, the shells aren't edible. Therefore, chutz miklipasein, she'eino ocha, you don't eat them. They don't mashlim l'ashir. You have to carry out a significant amount of food. So it has to be a grogeris worth of food, not, let's say, a food item that has a shell on it, that altogether with the shell, it's a grogeris, but then you peel off the shell, you take away the shell, so you only have 3/4 of a grogeris. That's not considered insignificant. So we exclude the klipa, the shell, the garineum, their pits. You don't eat the pits. Obviously, if you eat the pits, then it is included, then it's considered food. But in pits that are inedible, and vuktsein, the uktsa, Rashi tells us, is zanav hapri, the tail of the pri, du eitz b'yama. That's the stem that attaches the fruit to the tree. So that's a piece of wood. That's a shtick wood. And therefore, that's not considered edible as well. Likewise, the subon and the mursan. The subon and the mursanon are basically the whole wheat components over here of the grain. The subon is the more coarse type of whole wheat, the bran, and the mursan is the more finely shelled part of that. As Rashi explains, the subon is klipos chitin hanosheres machmas ketisha. The subon is the stuff that you grind or pound off at the beginning, and the mursan is after you sift it, that's the chaff, that's the waste that's left behind. So these are what we would call the whole wheat component of a grain. So these all aren't considered food, and therefore when you're talking about carrying out a shear of a grogeris, it doesn't include any of these non-food pieces of the overall food structure. Review the disagrees. Review the Omer. I agree with you in general that those things aren't food items, but there's an exception. Chutz mi klipe adoshin. You have over here the klipa, the shell of the lentils, so those are edible. Because you cook them together and then people eat them. So even though if they're uncooked, they would be considered inedible. But when you cook them, so they are edible. Rashi points out that this is only a certain part of the klipa of the lentil. Rashi says, lafuke klipa chitzona. There's an internal and an external klipa, and the external klipa falls off in the storehouse. And it's only the internal klipa that's cooked as part of the lentil when you're cooking the lentil. Fine. The Gemara starts off and says, the suban umur sanon lo mitstarfin. We don't really combine the coarse bran and the fine bran over here into making the shear of food. Vatnan, but there's a Mishnah Chala that tells us that when a person makes a certain size dough, which is the shear of chameshes revoyim kemach, it has five reva kavs of kemach, which is a certain amount of dough that obligates you in having challah taken off. Challah is the truma that is taken off and given to the kohen. It's 1/24th of the dough for a private person, 1/48th for a baker. And this is when you have a dough of a significant enough size, which is 43.2 eggs worth, which is a tenth of an ephah. 1/10th of an ephah, which is 432 eggs worth. So if you calculate this in terms of a rova hakav, so you need five rova hakavs worth of kemach, and then some have the gears of oud, like we do, and others don't have this. So whether this word is included in our Tosafot says is the discussion we had earlier, why you have a little bit more than that amount. In any event, chayavim b'chala. It tells us that it's chayavim b'chala. And this includes how to get to this shear, hain, the grain, v'suban umor sanan. And it includes as well the whole wheat part. It includes this coarse and fine bran. So it's included in terms of challah, it must be that it's edible. So how come in our Mishnah we say that it's not included in the significant shear because it's inedible? So Abai says, Shekein ani ochel pito b'iso belusa. And ani, a poor person, he goes and uses whole wheat bread. Today it's healthy to use whole wheat bread. In those days, the rich people had the finely sifted flour. And a poor person couldn't afford to throw away that stuff, so he would use the whole wheat. As Rashi explains, belusa means mu'urevis, bisubana ubimursana. It's the whole wheat mixed in all together with the grain. Hilkach. Lechem o'aretz karina bay. This is called the lechem of the people, the lechem of the land. However, that's in regards to hilkach challah. Umiyo linyan Shabbos, in regards to hilkach Shabbos, midi d'choshev ba'inan. You need something that's significant. It's again like the we said before, that if something is eaten al hadchak in regards to hilchos nezikin, it's significant, but not in regards to hilchos Shabbos. So tovia, in regards to hilchos challah, the bran and the coarse bran, the fine bran, they're considered significant to make the shear of challah, but they're not considered significant in hilchos Shabbos, and therefore they're not considered over here ochel, and therefore if you carry them out, they're not considered to reach the shear to help you make the shear of a chatas. Then the Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer, Chutz miklipe adoshin, ma mispashul simoen. So Gemara says, adoshin in, this only is specifically for adoshin, but pulin, other types of beans, are not included in this. Why not? But Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda Omer, Chutz miklipe pulin, the adoshin. In the Braisa, he seems to say that the exception to the rule is not only the adoshin, the lentils, but it's also certain beans. They're also edible. So how come our Mishnah didn't say that? Gemara says, lo kasha, it depends. Ha b'chadeti, ha b'atiki. As Rashi says, pulin chadeti, kliposa mitstarfin. When it's nice and fresh and it's new, so then it can be included as a food item. And that's why the Braisa includes it. However, our Mishnah is talking about atiki, ha b'atiki, and our Mishnah is talking about older ones, so then only the lentils, even if they're old, will able to be go and cooked and become food. But the pulin, the beans, when it's old, so then they don't cook well. So Gemara says, Atiki, my time alone. Why? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avohu, Bibnei Shinirin, Kizvuvim Bakara. So he says a technical reason over here. It looks like when you have these old ones, they look like you have little black specks over here in the food, and they look like insects in the food, like flies in the food. And therefore, Lefishin Shchoris, since they're darker when they get older, so that's why nobody wants to eat them, and therefore they're not considered edible. Rabbeinu Hananel explains over here, v'nishtachru, when they're older, they're darker, near in kizvuvin, they look like flies, b'ka'ara, u'regilin b'nei adam l'kalfun kodem bishul, and therefore they would always peel them before the bishul, and they're not considered, therefore, significant. Hilkoch ein klipason mitzdarfo simon. Therefore, the klipa isn't considered with the older ones, which are darker, which people of bedafka don't want to have there because it looks like you're eating insects over here, even though you're not. Therefore, that's why the atike are not considered significant. With this, we conclude Hadron Alecha Kla Gadol, Hadron Alecha Kla Gadol, Hadron Alecha Kla Gadol. Then we finish the beautiful parak of Kla Gadol. And now we go to the eighth parak, which is the parak of Hamotzi Yayin. And the Mishnah begins. Hamotzi Yayin. Here we're going to be dealing with various types of human consumed beverages. So, Hamotzi Yayin, if a person takes out wine, what's the significant amount of wine? And the other beverages we'll see. What's considered a significant amount that you'd be chayev a chatos? Again, chatzi shu is also in the Torah. Any amount's not allowed to be carried out. But what is considered significant to be chayev a chatos? So, in regards to wine, it's kedei meziga sakos. Enough wine that when you mixed it with water, it would be potable wine. It would be normal wine. Their wines are different than our wines. You go to a store, you buy a bottle of wine, you pour it into your cup and you drink it. You don't dilute it. Their wines didn't come that way. Their wines were much stronger. They could be viewed in a way like as a dehydrated juice that we purchase, and you have to add water to it. So their wines were very, very concentrated, and they weren't edible. If you just drank that, it wouldn't taste good. You have to dilute it out. As we'll see, the normal dilution was a 3-to-1 ratio. Sometimes it's a 2-to-1 ratio. Here we're talking about a 3-to-1 ratio. And therefore, if the sheer of liquids is going to be a revius, so then you're going to need to carry out over here 1/4 of a revius of this yayin, because it will mix with 3/4 of a revius of water, and then you'll have the sheer of a revius for the wine. So the significant amount of wine is the wine without the water, and that's hamotzi yayin kidei meziga sakos, in order to fill up a revius cup of wine. The Gemara will tell us a kos that's considered a significant kos, a kosher bracha, which is a revius. So that's the sheer of wine that you have to carry out. It's a 1/4 of a revius. Chalav, what's the appropriate sheer of milk? Kidei gemia. That's enough for a person to take a swallow. The Gemara will have a question, is it with an ayin or with an aleph, the word gemia? It means a swallow's worth of this milk. What one person eats in a single swallow. We have Tosus over here. Kidei gemia tells us from the Rabbeinu Paris, melo lugmav. This is the amount that you put in your mouth. Melo lugmav. But he says, below Mashma came in Masechus Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma seems to disagree with that. In any event, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara as well. Then it tells us, Davash, if you're taking out honey, kidei litein al hakotsis. You're going to go and use honey to use it to treat wounds. So Rashi has two interpretations over here. First, Rashi says, kotsis is shebegabi hasuk susim, on the backs of the horses and the camels, vagmalim, machmas amasos, they would have these straps and it would press into their flesh when they were carrying these various burdens, and it would cause wounds or sores, and they would put honey on it. We know medically today that honey is actually a type of substance that very, very, very few bacteria, if any, can grow in it. It has actually uses in wound care. In any event, so they would put honey on these wounds on the backs of the horses and camels. That's pshat number one. Alternatively, Rashi says, from his rabbis, he heard, Avol Rabose Pirshu, Kotsis is a makosh al gav hayad v'shal gav haregel. This is some sort of a wound that you have on your hand or on your foot. And you put honey on it. In other words, the honey is used here for medicinal purposes. The significant amount isn't for eating purposes. The significant amount over here is for medicinal purposes. Then, oil, shemen. How much is considered significant for oil? Kidei losuch aver kotan. The amount that you go and put on a small limb. We'll see the pinky of a child. We'll see this in the Gemara. So that's considered a significant amount of oil that would be over a chatas if you carry this amount out from Meshusa Yochin to Meshusa Rabin. Mayim, water, what's considered significant? Now, these are not for drinking purposes. You see, the honey is not for drinking purposes. The oil is not for drinking purposes. The mayim is also not here for drinking purposes. The amount of water that's considered significant is kei loshuf bohem esakilor. Rashi says, l'shafshef u'lehimchos ben, that you have to add water to this material that they used to put into the eyes. Rashi says, kilor shenosin ala ayin, is some sort of eye treatment, an ointment, or a salve that you put into the eyes. So it has to be diluted with water. So the amount of water that you need to dilute this kilor is considered a significant amount. However, when you're dealing with drinking purposes, ushar kol amashkin b'reviyas, all the others, liquids that you'll be talking about. So they're all for drinking purposes. So then the shear is the same. The shear is a revius. So all the things that we mentioned over here, the wine, the milk, the honey, the oil, and the water in our Mishnah are all not for drinking purposes. They're all for other purposes. But when you're talking about a significant amount of a beverage, orange juice, so then you'd have to carry out a revius. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon Omer, Kula Revius. He says all of them are Revius, even the ones that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Why did they mention then all these other Shurim? Lo Nemru, Kala Shurim Alalo, all these other Shurim were mentioned by the Tanakhama, Elo Lematzniyehem. That's for an individual that went and used them for those purposes. For those purposes, for that individual, even a smaller amount is considered a significant amount in Yibichai V'chatos. But in general, for everybody else, it's not considered a significant amount. So the Gemara says, Tana, Kidei Mezigas Kol Shofet. We start off and tell us about the wine. The wine is to make a nice cup. So the amount of raw wine, this undiluted wine that you need to carry out, is when you combine it with water, you'll have a nice cup. What's a nice cup? My Kol Shofet. So as I mentioned, Kol Shel Bracha. This is a Kol Shel Bracha. Whenever you bench, for example, you bench a la kos, so then that is something that's significant. As Rashi says, kos shel bracha of birchas hamazon, shetzricha chacham liyafuso, you have to make it nice. The Gemara in Brachos had 10 characteristics that we have for a kos shel bracha, and Rashi brings down some of them over here. Itor v'itov, hadocha, ushtifa, chayu mole. Again, we learned in the Gemara in Brachos what all of these things are. This is a kos yofeh, a kos shel bracha. Fine. Amar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravua, Kol Shel Bracha, Tzor Shia Bo Rova Revius. It must contain over here a Rova of a Revius. What does that mean? So we've already explained this. It means exactly like I said, that you start off with a quarter of the revius of the raw wine, the undiluted wine, the what's called Yain Chai, and then you add to it three quarters of revius, a 3-to-1 ratio of regular water, and you come up with a total over here of, when you dilute it, Kidei Shim Zagenu V'yamod Al Revius, and you end up over here with a total revius, which is made up of one quarter of the raw wine, three quarters of water, and together you make a revius of wine. That is the nice kos over here. This is the kos yofet. Fine. Amar Rava. Rava said, yeah, we learned the same thing. Af anan nami tanina. We learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, we turn to the Yomad Aleph, Amotzi Yayin Kidei Mezigas Kos. Our Mishnah said, you have to carry out enough of the raw wine that it can be used to make the revius of wine in a nice cup. The Tani Allah and Abraisa said that this is Kidei Mezigas Kos Yofet. Again, like we brought down already. Uktani Seifa, now the Mishnah then continued and it said, Vishar Kol Mashkim Revius, and the rest of the Mashkim are Revius. So from our Mishnah, we see that when you're dealing over here with the raw wine, it's not Shar Mashkin that require Revius. It has its own unique halacha, it has its own unique shear, because it's considered significant even as a quarter of the total shear of Revius, because it's going to be diluted and therefore it's considered significant. And for Rava Latame, and Rava, he's going according with his own Shita, the Amar Rava, because Rava tells us elsewhere, Kol Chamer Delodori Al Chatzlos Maya Lav Chamerhu. Whenever you don't dilute the wine in a 3-to-1 ratio, it's not considered good wine. So therefore, in order for it to be significant for carrying on Shabbos, and you'd have to be Chayav Chatos, it has to be considered something significant. And what is significant? A quarter of a revius of raw wine is considered significant. That is a Shita of Rava. We'll stop over here. We're going to go and argue with that Shita tomorrow. Abai is going to question Rava's Shita. With that, we conclude today's shiur.